Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is a lifestyle that accepts that accomplishment and harmony coexist. The Spa and Spa Life, the SPA, is for seek power always, that power within you to do your deeper and greater work in the world. I am so excited to have our next special guest here on the show, who is Isabel Tierney. She is a licensed therapist, stress management specialist, and an international speaker. She currently serves as the CEO of Choice Point International, and her company is dedicated to providing tools and services to reduce stress and choose well-being anytime, anywhere. And her company is run through two different divisions. The first is the Feel Good Life, which I can't wait to get into, a lifestyle wellness program provider that equips individuals with tools to reduce stress and enhance well-being at home and at work. And the second is the Stress Reset, a workplace wellness program provider that equips employees with proven tools that reduce stress and enhance well-being, productivity, and collaboration. Isabel, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I love what you're up to, especially since people have been spending a lot more time working from home and being isolated, and there's been an increase in anxiety and stress. So which part of your program, the one where it's more at the at-home tools or more at work, or has there been kind of a hybrid with the new situations of how people are working these days?
Well, it's so interesting. So the Feel Good Life, the self-development brand, I have been building it for, I've been a licensed therapist for 20 years and had a private practice. And then it's been in the last 4 years when I created the online program and started running the online course, because I realized this methodology changed lives so much that I wanted it to be more effective by doing groups and larger number of people so it could have greater impact. And then the Stress Reset, the corporate, began 2 years ago. We did a pilot last year. We actually, and I can't say the name yet, we just got a big contract with a nail polish company that's a part of a big company. So we just got a contract with them because what they're noticing is their teams are depleted, exhausted, stressed out, isolated at home. So the Stress Reset is a little bit of the younger child of the Choice Point division. So really what I'm, and my passion is the Feel Good Life because of the spirituality piece of it that I don't bring so much into the Stress Reset. It has a deep spiritual root to it that I really am very passionate about.
Yes. Well, I would love to dive deeper into that spirituality aspect of it. A lot of times you talk about partnering with God and God as your CEO of the company. So talk about how that partnership that you've created with God, how that gives you the foundation. How are you working in partnership with God?
I love the question. So I'll back up with some context about my Feel Good Life methodology, which is also the Stress Reset one. So what I help people get out of, right, in terms of physiological terms, is out of the stress response into what is the opposite, which is the relaxation response. But when we go into the spiritual lens of that, Dr. Andrew Wild called the relaxation response the God response. And because when you are in the relaxation response, you can access connection, love, peace, joy, everything we want as human beings actually lives in a physiological experience, which is unbelievable. And so when I ask myself, well, if the relaxation response is the God response, what is the stress response? And what came to me is the separation response, because literally when we are in the stress response, we can only see the world with a dualistic lens. You are the enemy. I have to fight you. I have to compete against you. And literally our capacity to perceive the world becomes completely distorted. It's why we become angry, reactive, and impatient. So that's the work I teach, is to help us access the God response. So a few months ago, I was wondering about my business and how big to scale it and, you know, like what the next few years would be. And then I thought to myself, well, I have access to the God response inside myself. I have access to what I consider the wisest, most brilliant creative consciousness. Why wouldn't I make God the CEO? And I don't think of God as the white man in the sky, right, with the beard. I think of God as love. So why wouldn't I make love be my CEO? And so literally the last 8 months of my company, every decision I make, I run it by God, meaning I drop into that God response, into the calm ease where creativity lives. And I get the most incredible ideas and insights and literally step-by-step of how to grow my business by listening. We could call it intuition. We could call it source. We could call it God. It doesn't matter. But it's the place deep inside of us that actually is the wisest, most brilliant place there is.
Yes. Oh, it's so important. I mean, you know, I refer to it as the power within you. And I love how people give it different names, whether it's intuition or God or that knowingness, right? And I think that there's times where when we know certain things and acting from sometimes it's that gut response. And when we don't, we know we're kind of going against our bigger wisdom and what that looks like. And we're social creatures, you know, having community, you talk about having like the groups and having people together make such a big difference. And I think that's why isolation and anxiety and things are so high right now is because people are more isolated than ever. You talk about getting out of stress in just minutes. What kind of process can you do that in?
So the methodology has two parts to it. The first part is awareness. And then the second part is action. So you first have to recognize that you're in the stress response, because when we are in the stress response, our rational brain is literally kidnapped, right? They can call it the frontal cortex, the neocortex. So you literally cannot see straight. You see the world from a distorted point of view where everything and everyone, including yourself sometimes, is the enemy. So step one, I have a scale called the feel-good scale. If you imagine a triangle that has the colors of a traffic light. So the red zone at the top is the stress response. The green zone at the bottom is the relaxation response. And in the middle is the yellow zone where most of us live, right? Some stress, some anxiety. So step number one of the methodology is you have to recognize if you're in the red zone or the yellow zone, you need to do the three steps. And then the three steps are step number one, stop. Think traffic light, right? Red, stop. Stop. Don't take action from that red zone because you will make a mistake that's going to have consequences either onto yourself or others. Step number two, going down to yellow, slow down and breathe, right? Science says that taking 5 to 10 deep abdominal breath is the fastest way to tell our bodies that we are safe and doesn't have to be in the stress response. And then the third step is go and act on a feel-good habit. And that is to do something that brings you into the peace, love, and joy that lives in that green zone and in that relaxation response. And we call that a feel-good habit as compared to a false good habit, which is one we do to feel good temporarily, like having too much ice cream or too much wine or yelling at somebody, but then makes us feel like crap, sends us back into that red zone. So step number three, go take action on a feel-good habit, like taking a walk or calling a friend or journaling or meditating. You know, there's literally thousands upon feel-good habits we can take, and we get to choose which ones work for us.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about the distinction between that feel-good habit and the false beliefs of that? Because a lot of times when you hear the word feel-good, that was such a great example about like the ice cream, right? Like those are just like quick fixes, right? And what are some of those things that have more of that sustainable, you know, you're talking about that fullness of actually where we feel fulfilled. And that's that difference also between like joy and happiness, right? That like there are distinctions that happen. And you talk about how that increases your frequency. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about that distinction.
Yeah, I love that. So we talk about false good, and I often come up with names because that's just the way God shows up with me. And but people, it's amazing to see these names that when they came through me like 4 years ago, it was like nobody knew about them. Now everybody uses them. So false good versus feel good. So when you think about false gods, right? False gods are the ones who promise you false god of money, we could say, or false god, you know, whatever it is, of power. They promise you of addiction. They promise you you are going to feel good if you just do that habit. But in fact, they actually bring you right back to the red zone. So I used to have an eating disorder. I struggled for more than 20 years with an eating disorder. So my false good habit was to binge, right? And then to actually get rid of it. And it temporarily felt so good, right? I had so much trauma I was trying to heal. and bringing all that food in and then letting go of that, having that moment of peace, right? It's like, I remember a client who was this very well-known real estate agent, was actually a meth addict. And she spoke about seeing the sunrise while she was on drugs, and she'd never experienced, and it was God for her. But the problem with false good is they slam you right back to the red zone, right? I would feel horrible after these cycles. We can feel so physical discomfort, emotional discomfort when we yell at somebody and it temporarily feels good because you discharge some energy and then you see what you've created. So false good, feel good at first and then actually feel bad. A feel good habit sometimes actually doesn't feel good right away. Like if I want to have a cookie because I'm stressed out, that's going to be much easier and feel good faster than going to journal or meditate. So it actually requires a bit of a delay of gratification to do a feel-good habit, but it always, always, always has long-term, real, positive consequences. And so we have to learn that. You know, we all get to a certain point in our life where we get fed up of those false-good habits. We're not willing to pay for their consequences anymore. And yeah, so hopefully I answered the question. And so feel-good habits include, you know, there's some scientifically ones, like going into nature, like meditating. I mean, you know, we now know because of brain research that they literally rewire your brain into higher states of being, into higher frequencies, instead of being at the top of the beta waves, which is the stress response. So science is now proving this, which is really, really fun.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like there is a certain level of sustainability that comes from the, you know, the feel good habits, that there's long-term effects with it. Could you talk about when it, almost like this boomerang effect, when there are those temporary ones, where it's like, you may have a second where you feel good, maybe even a little bit more, but when it slams you back, then you know you're not making that forward progress. It's kind of like that two steps forward, three steps back kind of situation. So whatever that forward progression that happens, that I'm thinking too, like when, you know, when we're talking about accessing that God inner awareness and that intuition, that when we're stepping into those feel good habits, that it resonates internally, that there is something that feels like almost beyond the feel good in terms of the joy, the oneness. I mean, it feels like there's a higher level of connection. Would that be some of the indicators that lets you know that, hey, you're on the right path of that?
I love that question. So the hidden trick is that really when I talk about feel good, I really mean feel God. But I really realized that I didn't want to put that up front, right? It's the feel good life methodology. But really what I mean is it's the feel God life. Right? Because again, my experience of God is not of a punishing authoritarian being, right, that rules our lives, but it is an experience of peace, love, joy. So yes, these feel good habits really are feel God habits. Like when I go outside and I do the third step and I take time to connect to nature, and it's just my whole, it's like the nervous system unwinds, which feels incredible to our physiology. Our thoughts slow down, our emotions shift out of like anxiety and fear. And really, we can connect to peace, love, and joy. And again, this is scientifically proven. This is not just this airy-fairy stuff. We shift out of the brain waves of these high beta, which are brain waves like this, right? Really, really turbulent. And we start shifting into alpha, theta, delta, which are the brain waves that connect us to unity and to oneness and to peace, love, and joy. Like it's actually brain waves. So it's not just this lovely spiritual teaching. That is indeed what they do. So an indicator, as you were saying, is do I actually feel good sustainably? Am I more peaceful? Am I more connected? And, you know, I want to say a caveat. For those of us who have experienced a lot of trauma, I just want to say to your listeners, if you're someone who's experienced a lot of trauma, it takes time to rewire ourselves that we can actually feel that inner peace, love, and joy sustainably, right? We might have momentary experiences, but just I want to make sure people are patient about taking the time to rewire ourselves. I used to live on that feel-good scale in the red zone for 30 years. I am now 90% of the time I'm in the green zone. And if I go into red, I notice, I do the three steps and I shift. You could have never predicted that 20 years ago, that I could ever live that happy, that fulfilled. And then I get to teach that work in the world to make people feel more good, more bad. I feel so blessed.
Right. It's so great. And that there's some very simple tools. It's not always easy, but it's very simple. And I love how you talk about the breath. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, I'm always talking about with my clients is just because it may seem very simple doesn't mean that you want to miss this step, because we know that deep breath gets oxygen to the brain. You know, there's this conversation. I love that you're bringing this kind of art and science together, right? That there are proven things where this is actually your God self. It's there to guide you and it's scientifically proven. So, you know, it's not either or. There is this combination of we're holistic beings. We use all different aspects of ourselves. And I love how you know, distill it down to love, because isn't that the spiritual message that we get, is regardless of all of the commandments and the have-tos and all that, it comes down to love, right? That you love your God with all your heart. You love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, as we are stepping out in our business and our purpose and our life and mission, is that not just a reflection of the love that we're here to be in the world? And I love that as part of your message and what's happening. And one of the things that, as we speak to the entrepreneurs that are out there, that there can be, until you're on that other side of that, or you have some of those habits in place, there can be some fear. And I know that you have three of your aspects of your methodology that you use to help when you're confronted with fear. And I'd love for you to share that, because fear's, you know, it's a pretty real thing that people experience, and how they deal with that can make the difference of whether they succeed or stumble back.
Yeah, it's back. And I think this is what you're talking about. It's back to the three steps. You know, this has been said so often in the self-development world, but it's really actually scientifically sound. Fear is false evidence appearing as real, right? So fear is a thought. A fear is a thought that looks to the past to predict the future, right? If you got hurt a year ago, if you made a business decision a year ago, your mind has learned to track patterns and it will be predicting that the same event could happen and is going to give you fear. So false evidence appearing as real. And remember, I was talking about the stress response being the red zone. We literally see the world. It's called the negativity bias. When we are in the stress response, our brain literally switches the way it sees the world and only sees the negative. Marianne Williamson calls it the great fault finder. We can only see fault. We can only see what's wrong. And so if you're running a business, you know, those times you can look at your business and you're looking at your balance sheet or you're looking at an employee. If you're in the stress response, you're going to see what's wrong with your balance sheet, with your employee, with your business plan, whatever it is that you're experiencing fear. So you have to, well, at least as a business owner, I invite you, I challenge you, I urge you, if you notice you are in fear, do the three steps, get yourself back to that green zone, and then the way you will see your problem will actually come from wisdom, from truth, from reality. And you may still need to take some action on these problems, but they're going to come from a completely different part of you, the one that is literally more rational, more productive, more engaged, and it's going to be a completely different decision. And so when I speak to companies, I encourage them to become businesses that do not make decisions in the red zone. Like, that's my greatest mission, because they will be false good habits. They will be fast, they will be impulsive, and they will usually hurt the company or its employees. So get yourself, do the three steps, stop, slow down, breathe, get yourself back to the green zone with a feel good habit, and then look at the same issue and see what shows up.
Yeah. I love how you talk about the progression, because we both work with a lot of leaders, and sometimes there can be that pressure to make a fast decision. It doesn't mean that you have to wait hours, days, weeks, even. You know, this can be a very quick process to go through, but it's a matter of acknowledging that. And if you can't actually access your inner wisdom, if you're in that stop place, right? Yeah. If you're having all of these conflicting thoughts and you're coming from fear, you're not actually even able to see the clarity of what is that next step. And so these are a very simple process. And sometimes when someone's like, okay, I need an answer right now, you literally, and I've done this with some of my clients, like, you can excuse yourself to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
You can take a deep breath in the moment. You can take a break. I mean, really giving yourself just a few moments and a little bit of perspective can make all the difference in the world. And I love how you share that as far as that, the fear of really altering our perspective, right? And I love how you share that about, you know, when you're in that place, you actually can't make good decisions, right? You don't have access to being able to make those decisions. So just being able to make the distinctions around, you know, moving from those different areas really make a difference with that. And another thing we like to share with, you know, our listeners here is that, you know, they always see the end game of you've mastered it and it's been successful and just being in the process of that. And you talked a little bit about the disempowerment of an eating disorder. Talk a little bit of how you moved through that, because I'm sure there's also some thought processes when you're in there that you, things that you don't see. So maybe what were some more of the disempowering moments during that? And what were some of the wake up moments or the ahas that allowed you to get to the other side?
Wow, it's a beautiful question. I feel my experience for most of my eating disorder was one of disempowerment. And because I didn't have choice, right? It was a physiological and psychological and spiritual disease, addiction. I didn't have choice. I had literally wired my body to do the bulimic cycle because it actually, they've now figured out, creates serotonin in the brain. So every time I did the cycle, my brain made less and less serotonin and needed more and more for me to do that experience to get more serotonin. So it's like a drug, literally. It was a psychological because every time I did it, I felt worse and worse about myself. And that matched the childhood belief that I had learned that I was no good, right? So the more I acted out my eating disorder, the more it proved that core belief that I was no good. And then the spiritual, I didn't have a connection with spirit. I was raised Catholic, and then I did nothing with it until I was in my 30s. So I had no connection to spirit. So I was disempowered most of the time. And there's one moment that really stands out to share with you and your viewers. And I was reading this woman, Janine Roth's book. She is one of the most amazing people talking about food and God and healing. And she had this question called, that said, what if there's a perfectly good reason for everything we do? And I remember like that question, like I can still feel it in my heart because that's not the way I saw myself. I saw myself as always doing something wrong, that I shouldn't have my eating disorder. I should be better. And I started sitting with that question. And what I realized is I was just trying to feel good. I was just trying to feel God in the best way that I could. I wasn't a bad person. I was just trying to feel good, which is a physiological imperative for us to survive, and to feel God, which is a spiritual imperative that each of our souls have in this planet. And the moment I started to see that, I was just trying to feel good the best way I could. All my healing changed because then I started having curiosity. And then I started asking myself, well, how else can I feel good and feel God? And I slowly started just teaching myself, well, maybe I can take a walk, but not take a walk because I shouldn't have my eating disorder. It was take a walk like, oh, is there another way for me to feel good, to feel God, that's going to feel better, that's going to be a feel-good habit versus false good? And over time, literally my eating disorder, the best word I can find for it is dissipated. I didn't reject it. I couldn't cut it out of myself. I couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't hate it into submission. It dissipated because it was replaced with other ways to feel good, to feel God. So that's probably my favorite story to share with you.
I love that. It reminds me of people who make the New Year's resolutions and they have such high expectations of being 100% perfect. And by day three, when they start slipping, it's kind of an all or nothing mentality. And I love this kind of incremental permission of giving yourself, of just making the next best choice, right? Instead of saying, I'm going to, you know, never touch a certain food ever again in my life, how about make a good choice on this next meal, right? This next thing in my mouth. And then it's always just the next decision that gets to be made. And I think
with the mission of what will connect me most deeply to love. You see the difference versus like, how will I lose more weight? Or how will I be a more perfect human being? You know, talking about fear, those are fear-based choices and they never work in the long run. They work temporarily. I can scare myself into like losing 5 pounds. But the difference is every time you're in front of that choice, you are kind. And you say, what will make me feel most good, most God in the long run? And then, you know, in Buddhism, they call it right action. Right action just flows from that question versus a fear-based punishing choice.
Right. You know, I love this because, you know, I was thinking about different questions that I ask myself or I have my clients ask themselves in terms of if you could just kind of step outside of yourself and ask your body what it wants, ask your spirit what it wants. I mean, asking these questions of itself, because if it's making from these higher decisions and then you're able to take that deep breath, be in that place of green, to actually be spacious, because there may be something there that if you're in that restrictive, you know, stop, don't do this, you aren't looking at the possibility. And I see that when you get to the green, you have more possibility.
Oh, that is so well said. There's literally infinite possibilities in the green, right? We are starting once again, people like Joe Dispenza are merging science and spirituality, for example, and talking about the quantum field and what we're starting to know about quantum science. There are literally infinite possibilities in the quantum field waiting for us. And depending on which brain frequency we are at, we ping that quantum field at that frequency. So when I'm in the red zone, I can only create more red zone. When I'm in the green zone, I create infinite green zone possibilities. And the way my life has unfolded the last few years by living in the green zone, like even meeting you, I mean, just you end up meeting people and having synchronicities. And when God is your CEO in your personal and professional life, like the most extraordinary life shows up. So it's really worth the practice to do this work, especially when we understand the science. Big sentence I want to say to you and the readers, I think I told you when you and I spoke, one of my big mantras, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And I want to say that because I find that people feel such relief. Who we become in the red zone is not our fault. We're literally wired for that negativity bias to see what's wrong when we get stressed, to see the world as our enemy. But it is our responsibility to shift ourselves out of it and choose to become a different kind of human being. And really, like when I understood that who I become in the red zone, like, oh, when I'm in a fight with my husband in the red zone, it is brutal, right? Because we are wired to kill. We're supposed to be fight, flight, or freeze. You are a danger to me in that moment when I'm in the red zone. It's not my fault who I become, but it is my responsibility of who I'm going to choose to be in this next moment. That's a really big piece that I just love to share with people.
Yeah, that's such a great distinction because, again, if you're in that place, that red space where you're making choices from that and you feel like you can't make any choices or you feel like you're not at choice, but then your brain's going, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be able to choose my life. I'm supposed to be able to do that. Just get to the place where you can, right? And so knowing that awareness about being able to move through that makes such a huge difference in making some of those decisions. And speaking of conscious choice, one of the things I love to ask my guests is that we live life, we operate differently in different rooms of our home, you know, our bedroom versus our kitchen or our office. What is your favorite room in your home and why?
Well, that's an interesting question. We just moved to Missoula in September and the whole first floor is open. And on one side is a fireplace and it faces the front of the street. And then on the other side, we are on a lake. And so there's these big windows that face the lake. So I call it the water room. And then this is the fire room, which is so cool, right? So the water room is my favorite because my husband was saying this to me the other day. He's like, it's like an aquarium. In the winter, swans come and there are ducks and there's geese. And it doesn't matter, 365 days a year, it has some part of nature that is arising and is always, always beautiful. And it is the most green zone experience. I just sit on the couch and I just, like, gigantic, right? Floor to ceiling windows. And I get to see this lake and to get to experience nature, which is one of the best feel-good habits to have, right? Scientifically proven. And that's where Brian and I meditate every morning. We meditate and we spend a half hour meditating. It's just, yeah, it's a green zone. It's my favorite green zone place.
I love that. Oh, well, You and I could talk about the green zone all day long. And
I know. And you see the smile on our faces when we start talking about it.
This makes me feel so happy. I go to Missoula often. And, you know, I also go up into Coeur d'Alene and just to be in nature and to be in the lake. And just the trees are so different in that part of the world. They're just so inspiring. So I love that you live in that area. And I can see how that just brings so much peace to you and having that in your life. And I know that our listeners are going to want to stay in contact with you. I know that you have some special programs and some things that are coming up that help people with the tools to be able to maneuver between those different zones.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you. So August 30th, we begin our second Feel Good Breakthrough Challenge. So this is the way I get to offer the work for free to as many people as can do it. So it's 10 days where twice a day I do teaching in the morning. I have a guest in the afternoon and the whole methodology is taught. You know how sometimes you do these conferences or these challenges and they give you just enough and they're like, yeah, we'll give you the rest if you sign up for the course. That drives me crazy. I admire the marketing of it, but I don't know how to do that. I always give everything. So August 30th for 2 weeks is the 10-day challenge. It is free. I urge you to join. We did it in February. By day two, people had completely opened up. They were sharing everything. I do meditations every morning. It is the most unbelievable, life-changing 10 days you will probably ever have. And then that funnels into, I have a three-month course, which people can already buy right away. It'll be on my website, but it's not live, right? You can buy it self-guided, or you can do it with the rest of the group. And that will be starting September 22nd. But just come. So I think you'll have the Facebook page, right? The Facebook group is called the Feel Good. And so what's really cool is up until then, we're doing these micro challenges. So every week we get to practice together a feel good habit. So first week it was tagging a feel good angel, someone who made you feel good that day. The second week was acknowledging yourself. Last week was shift your perspective. And then this week I just announced it, it's connect to nature. So every week for a whole week as a community, and we share on the group. So join that group now and then do the 10-day breakthrough challenge at the end of August.
Wonderful. I love that. I mean, anytime we can raise our vibration and be able to learn how to choose better is wonderful. And I just want to thank you for sharing all of your wisdom. And I know that as our theme for our this year is being a force for good. So I'd love for you to end on sharing how you are being a force for good in the world.
Oh, thank you. A couple of years ago, I went to this retreat and it was the first time I had the thought of scaling. And this woman led us through a manifestation exercise. And I want to have a big company. I want to meet Oprah, right? All the traditional things we say. And then she said, one more. And what came is, I want to be a force for ending war. And I remember thinking, what did I just say? And then I understood, because the red zone is where war begins. Literally, the red zone is where war begins. And I am literally here to help people become green zone human beings. You know, I call it heaven on earth as well, because that's what heaven on earth is living here in love, in gratitude, in compassion. We can create it, or we can live hell on earth. The red zone is hell on earth. So that's what I'm here for. I am not in a grandiose way really committed to reaching millions of people so that, because it's, we can do it. We can actually shift into that green zone and war. So that's my answer.
Oh, I love that so much. Well, just thank you again so much for your wisdom. And for our listeners out there, let's spend more time in the green zone, more heaven on earth. That just sounds so wonderful to have. And these are the kind of messages that you can help by sharing, you know, subscribe, any comments or questions that you have, make sure that you tag Isabel or myself. I just saw a photo in my head about my daughter whose name is Elizabeth.
Well, people always call me Elizabeth. I'm not sure why. So I think there's something to it.
I think there's some like angelic energy around you, because it's funny, as much as you and I have talked and I'm like, I know that you're Elizabeth and that you're Isabel, and there's some like interchange that happens in that. And I always look at those are kind of heavenly nudges that happen out there. So let's have the energy of Elizabeth around Isabel as she shares her energy out in the world. And that's interesting that you've had that.
Many times.
So interesting. I always look at that. Those are part of our angels that are meant to be with us. So.
I never heard that. I love that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So anyway, listeners, please share this. Look into Isabel's group for the challenge and to have some support around this. We don't have as many community, you know, connections as we've had before. And so anytime you can do that, that's always a wonderful way to connect with other people and to have some support in that. So until we connect again, live your spa life. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. Go to dianehalfman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.